Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Dave.
Liam.
It's a trailer.
Watch It If You Can podcast. Join us for each episode as we create box sets of our favourite films and TV shows.
We go through the cast to see what else they've been in, along with any recommendations.
We pick our favourite characters, performances, moments and highlights from the soundtrack too.
We ask if there's anything to make it better and look at the lasting legacy of our pick.
We have a little fun with our quick fire round and finally, what else would you like list based on themes from the episode?
Maybe, just maybe, you should watch it if you can.
What if they've already seen it?
Well, you can watch it again if they can.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Mystery. Frequency.
And thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoyed that trailer, it's from our guys over at Watch It If You Can. Be sure to look at the descriptions to find links to their show. As for us, we got back-to-back episodes of Rocky Fortune, Volume 2, a series that started in 1953 and went on to 1954. And despite starring Frank Sinatra as the main lead, it only lasted for one season. But you'll be able to listen to them here. And don't forget to check out Volume 1 in the archives. Now besides that, I have the usual. If you enjoy this podcast in any way, please follow it, review it if you can, and rate it. It would also be great if you could share it with anyone you might think would enjoy it. And be sure to check out the descriptions below for links associated with the show. And with that, please enjoy Rocky Fortune, Volume 2.
Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. NBC presents Frank Sinatra, starring as the footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
Hi. You know, sometimes my friends ask me, Rocky, why can't you hold a job? That's a good question. And I don't know the answer. Maybe I just get restless or something. Anyway, whatever it is, me and steady employment don't get along. Now, you take the last job I had, steward on a big luxury liner from Bermuda to New York. I figured I'd like to see the ocean, you know? And a couple of guys were trying to help me, too. Only they wanted me to see it the hard way, from the bottom. Pardon me, Miss Nightingale. This is sick bay, isn't it?
Yes. Something wrong?
My heart is going pitter-pat.
I beg your pardon.
Nothing, Blue Eyes. I'm the steward from Abdeck. I came for the pills.
Pills?
The Dramamine for Lady Droopsnoot. You know, the Duchess in A7.
Oh, you mean Lady Harkness.
Yeah, anything you say.
Oh, you'll have to wait a moment for Dr. Harper. He'll be back.
That's too bad.
Is something wrong, Mr.
Fortune. Rocky Fortune. No, why?
Oh, you keep staring. And winking.
Oh, I've got something in my eye. I'm just trying to wink it out.
Well, you better let me take a look.
Yeah.
Oh, just sit down there in the light.
How's this?
Now, lean closer.
Like this?
A little closer.
Does this make it?
That's too close. Now, which eye is bothering you?
Right now, both. Try the left one.
Open wide. Your eyes, I mean.
Oh.
Don't be fresh.
Don't be so beautiful.
I don't see a thing.
I do.
Please, Mr. Fortune, you're not cooperating.
I don't even know your name.
My name is Helen Travers, R.N.
For real nice?
For registered nurse.
Yeah.
Now, about the eye, do you mind if I wash it out?
Honey, you can do anything you want. Would you like to take out my tonsils or saw me in half? Anything, just name it.
You're impossible. Hold still. There.
Ow!
That's for being so fresh.
Something wrong, Miss Travers?
Oh, hello, Doctor. The steward would like some Dramamine.
Oh. Seasick? You don't look well.
I haven't looked well since I was 9. It's for a passenger in A7.
A7? That's Lady Harkness, isn't it?
That's right.
I'm afraid I can't give you any more.
What's wrong, Doc?
The chief steward was up less than an hour ago to get some Dramamine for Lady Harkness. Stuff isn't candy, you know.
The chief? He just sent me up.
There must be some confusion here. I think you'd better check.
All right, Doc.
Sorry.
Not at all. It was a pleasure.
I hope your eye improves.
Yeah, the wash seemed to help it a little bit. Say, maybe I could come back later on for another eyeful.
I'm afraid my boyfriend wouldn't approve.
Anybody I know?
Yes. Yes, the chief steward. Goodbye, Mr. Fortune.
I walk out on deck, still thinking about Helen Travers, RN, which stands for Registered Knockout, and leg it down to A deck. I get my hand on the doorknob of A7 when I hear something which ain't exactly music. Lady Harkness! Lady Harkness! Open up! Open up! When nothing happens, I put my shoulder against the door and heave. When nothing happens, I try the knob. And it opens. I practically fall into the cabin, which is dark in the inside of a coal miner's boot. The reason I fall is quite simple. Lady Harkness is stretched out on the broad loom like a dead lizard. I take one look and reach for the phone. Give me the ship's doctor, honey. Hurry. Hello, Doc. This is Rocky Fortune. I'm in cabin A7, and the place looks like Act 2 of Arsenic and Old Lace. You better get down here before... Oop. Has been hiding behind the door when I come in. I never know what hits me. The top of my head exploded and the floor kept coming up to meet me. Only it took a long time to fall and I must have had some crazy dreams on the way down.
Rocky!
Huh? What?
Up here! On this cloud!
Well, Helen, how'd you get away up there?
I flew! Come on up!
How?
Fly!
Are you kidding?
Try it. You can fly. Spread your wings.
Holy mackerel, I got wings.
Flap harder.
I can't make it. Maybe I've been grounded.
Try again. That's it. Flap harder.
I'm off the ground. Hey, I'm falling. Helen, I'm falling. Helen.
Take it easy, Rocky.
My wing, I can't fly.
Who can? Come on, snap out of it.
Hey, where am I?
In sick bay.
What happened? My arm...
Your arm is in a cast.
How come?
You must have fallen and sprained it. Dr. Harper told me to put a temporary cast on it, just in case it's badly hurt.
Gee, it feels like lead. What hit me?
I don't know. We found you stretched out on the floor of Lady Harkness' cabin.
Well, how's the patient? I'll say, you look awful.
We've been through that already.
Oh. How do you feel? Arm hurt?
Not bad.
Yeah, let's have a look, huh? Well, it's a nice job, Miss Travers.
Thank you, Doctor.
Oh, Fortune, if you can make it, the captain would like to see you.
What's on his mind?
Well, I don't know for sure, Mr. Fortune, but I guess it's the $50,000 worth of jewelry that was stolen from Lady Harkness. I staggered down to the old man's cabin feeling like somebody left me in one of those fancy washing machines with the dial set on rinse dry. When I get there, the reception committee included Lady Harkness, who is about 60, wears a tweed suit, and talks like an English Tallulah. The chief steward, who looks like a clothing dummy, and the old man. 350 pounds of human meanness.
Close the door, steward.
Aye.
I believe you know Lady Harkness.
Aye, aye.
And the chief steward.
We've had the pleasure.
Sit down.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is this the man you saw, Lady Harkness?
Young man, would you mind bending over?
Me?
You, up to it.
Okay, but what for?
Well, you see, it was dark and I'd been asleep. When I opened my eyes, I only saw this strange man leaning over me. I screamed and he put a pillow or something over my face before I could get a good look at him.
Is this the man?
Well, it might be, Captain.
All right, Fulton. Straighten up.
Do you mind if I sit down, Captain? I've had a hard tap on the skull.
You will remain standing in the presence of a ship's officer.
Thanks.
No insurance?
Excuse it. Now, would you mind telling me what this is all about?
Fulton, there is $50,000 worth of jewelry missing from this cabin. I don't suppose you'd like to confess.
Confess? Sure. I've been waiting all night to confess. You see, it was like this.
Get this, Mr. Waters.
Yes, sir.
I crept in through the porthole, see? And Lady Harkness here was asleep. I scragged the ice.
I beg your pardon.
Heisted the jewels. She started to wake up, so I smothered her with kisses. Then she screamed. I saw I couldn't escape, so I called the doc on the phone. Then I carefully swallowed the jewels, hit myself on the head with a piece of stale salami, broke my own arm, and passed out. And I'd be very happy to sign a statement.
That's screamingly funny, old boy. How'd you like a punch in the jaw?
Just try it, Hercules.
That's enough from both of you. Mr. Waters.
Sir.
I want Mr. Fortune's belongings searched. If you don't turn up those jewels, you have my permission to comb the entire ship from stem to stern.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Fortune, you may consider yourself discharged. You are confined to cruise quarters.
Just a minute, Captain Bly.
Well?
Don't you think this amateur gumshoe work ought to be left to the law?
Mr. Fortune, in case you are not familiar with the maritime code, on this vessel, I am the law.
I execute a very unflattering salute with my good wing and stagger back to my bunk where I fall into the sack like a dead man. Only trouble is I can't sleep. My head aches, my arm aches, and my heart aches. About 1 a.m. after 3 hours of whirling like a drunken dervish, I climb out of the hammock and head for sick bay, figuring I can pick up some sleeping pills. I get to the sick bay door just in time to hear voices inside.
Don't try to give me that.
I tell you it's true.
Larry. I'll tell you you're a liar.
Larry, please.
Nobody's going to double-cross me, Helen, particularly not my own girl.
Larry, you've got to believe me.
I'll give you one more chance to tell me the truth.
But I told you.
All right, baby. You want to play rough.
Larry!
No? Okay.
Larry,
good evening. Am I interrupting something?
Fortune, get out of here.
You know, Emily Post says it ain't polite to hit a young lady unless she belts you first.
Get out.
You all right, Miss Travers?
Yes. Please, Rocky, do as he says.
Sure. Anything you say. Only before I go, Chief.
Yes.
Here.
Rocky.
Yeah, I suppose they'll hang me for mutiny now. Oh, well, it was worth it. Back to my pad and spend a few more restless hours trying to figure out what goes between Larry the steward and Helen Travers. In the morning, I wake up and head back to sick bay for a checkup on the arm.
Well, how's it feel?
Hurts.
I think I'd better x-ray in case it's a green twig fracture instead of a sprain.
Does that mean you take the cast off?
No. We can x-ray right through the cast. I'd hate to spoil Miss Travers' beautiful work.
Her beautiful work weighs about a ton. How long will I wear it, Doc?
I'll let you know after the x-rays. Just step over here, please, huh? Now, place your arm right here. That's fine. You just hold that, huh? Now. Just hold steady. Ah, good, that's fine. Now, you wait here. I'll go into the dark room and develop it, huh?
Say, Doc, is Miss Travers in this morning?
No. She said you didn't feel well. Had a bad night, I expect.
I expect she did.
This'll only take a minute or two. Just make yourself comfortable, huh? I sit down and slop my way through a couple of issues of National Geographic while the doc steps into the dark room. After a little while, I have a visitor.
Ah, it's you.
Come on in, Chief. Looking for a little medical aid?
I'm looking for Helen.
Oh, that's a lovely mouse you got under your eye. Did you bump into a door?
Very funny.
Have a seat. The doc's in the closet developing some x-rays.
Is she here?
Haven't seen her. Say, they find the missing jewels yet?
You know darn well they haven't found them.
Did you look in the captain's cabin? You know, I don't trust him. He's a sneaky character.
Fortune, when we get into New York tomorrow, the police are going to have a little talk with you, and frankly, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes.
Chief, I'm going to level with you. If you were in my shoes, I'd throw them away. What's that?
It came from the dark room.
Try that door there.
Locked. There's another door that leads to the office.
Come on. Here. Helen.
Doctor.
Holy smokes.
Is he...
stone dead.
Dr. Harper.
Take it easy, baby. You can't do him any good now.
What happened?
I don't know. I came in late. I wasn't feeling too good. I remember that he wanted me to change the developing solution because he was going to x-ray Rocky's arm. So I went right into the dark room. First, I thought I was alone. It was so dark. And then I saw him. I saw him on the floor with his scissors on his back. Eric. Larry, he's been murdered.
Take it easy, honey. Come on, Chief. You better notify the skipper. We also better radio the New York Harbor Police to meet us. While the chief steward goes over to phone the old man, it suddenly occurs to me that I'd better have a couple of ready answers. So I go back in the little dark room to take another look at Dr. Harper and snoop a little. Just when I think I've struck oil, the skipper barges in.
Fortune!
Yeah?
I don't want anything touched.
Just window shopping, Skipper.
You are under arrest.
What's the charge? Or don't you need one?
The charge is murder.
Now look, Captain.
You will be placed under guard in the forward lazaret until the police board ship.
Just what makes you think I slipped it to Dr. Harper?
You were alone with him when the chief steward arrived.
He was in the dark room.
You had plenty of time to kill him and go back to the examining room. And you'll have plenty of time to pay for it, too. The rest of your life, I predict, Mr. Fortune.
I got news for you, Skipper. As a fortune teller, you got a crack in your crystal ball. The lazarette is a small iron box down in the hold of the ship, just big enough for me, a couple of mice, and a few hundred feet of anchor chain. A couple of deckhands take turns guarding me, which consists of sleeping on a little cot just outside the bulkhead door. I get 3 square glasses of water a day and all the bread that me and the mice can eat. I am not happy.
On your feet, Mr. Fortune.
Well, well. And to what do I owe this pleasure?
To the fact that I want to talk to you.
Is that gun just a conversation piece, or do you always carry it?
The captain authorized your guard to carry sidearms. I'm your guard for the next watch.
Just the two of us?
Just the two of us.
How cozy.
Get back against the wall and keep those hands above your head.
Anything you say, Larry.
I'm interested in what you say, Mr. Fortune.
Concerning what?
Concerning what happened to those jewels.
How should I know?
I say you've got them.
You've been smoking Dramamine.
I'll give you one more chance to start talking.
And if I don't?
I empty this gun at you.
Wait a minute, Buster. That's homicide, remember?
I can always say you tried to jump me.
I don't get this. Is there a reward, or are you interested in those jewels for personal reasons?
Just start talking.
Okay, I'll talk.
And make it good.
I'll make it as good as I can. Is this good enough? I had my hands up in the air, and I brought the arm with the cast down on the top of his skull as hard as I could. He went out like a wet candle, and I cracked the plastic cast right down the middle. I was still trying to figure out my next move when I discovered we were not alone.
Put up your hand.
Sure, it's getting to be a permanent position.
Hand me that gun.
Help yourself.
Robbery, murder, assaulting a ship's officer. You know, Fortune, we can make trouble for you.
I suspected as much.
You could save yourself some heartache by confessing where you hid the jewels.
Why don't you ask the guy who heisted them?
I suppose you can identify him.
Your chief steward, sir.
That's an interesting bit of information. Can you prove it?
No.
All right, Mr. Fortune. Back in the lazaret.
Will you listen to what I have to say, at least?
Save it for the homicide boys. They'll be coming aboard when we reach quarantine in the morning.
So I am back in the Bastille with my rodent companions. I spend the rest of the night trying to imagine what it's going to feel like when they sit me down in a Sing Sing Chippendale with wiring by Con Edison. Trouble? You'll excuse the cliche, but it shouldn't happen to two dogs because one dog couldn't handle it all. Along about daybreak, I'm nervously peeling pieces of plaster off my arm when I get the shock of my life. But before I can recover, somebody arrives.
All right, Fortune. On your feet.
I've been on them all night.
Let's go. The police cutters will be here in 15 minutes.
Now, look, Captain, before the gendarmes start working me over, I think I can crack this case.
Uh-huh.
I'm serious. I can trap the doc's murder in just 10 minutes. Will you listen to me?
No.
Well, can I at least get some medical attention?
What for?
This cast is falling off. And I'd hate to appear in the police lineup with a crummy cast. Might look like you twisted my arm.
I'm not an unduly cruel man, Fortune. We'll let the nurse take a look at it.
Attaboy, Captain. I knew that underneath that rough exterior that beats a heart of solid stone. Minutes later, I am in the sick bay, feeling like an oyster which has just escaped from 6 months in an undersized shell and is about to be eaten alive.
Rocky, I was so worried about you.
Hi, baby.
When the captain told me you'd broken the cast on Larry's head, I...
How is he?
He's sleeping it off in the captain's cabin. Let's get that new cast on your arm.
How about a new arm while you're at it?
Let's get the old one off.
The arm or the cast? Hey, take it easy.
This won't hurt. Here, I'll just tap it a few times with this mallet. And... there.
What's the matter, honey?
Matter? Oh, nothing.
Don't kid me, baby. You look like you just shot six holes in the high 80s.
There's nothing wrong.
Suppose I tell you what's wrong.
All right.
The jewels are missing.
What jewels?
The Lady Harkness loot. The jewels you mixed into the plaster for this cast in my arm.
You're crazy.
I'm crazy like King Solomon. You and Larry boy heisted those jewels. Larry did the muscle work and conked me when I came into the cabin at the wrong moment. Then he got scared and passed the jewels to you.
But...
you knew that they'd search the ship, so you put them into that plastic cast on my arm, figuring you'd get them back after the ship made port and we were all ashore. That's why you were so nice and sweet to me. I was worth plenty to you.
You've got it all figured out, haven't you?
All figured out. I even figured out why you knocked off the good doctor.
Tell me. I'd be interested to know.
You didn't plan on us taking any x-rays of my arm in the cast. And you knew the x-rays would show those jewels and they would fix your cute little wagon, but good. So you knocked him off and ruined the plates. I noticed the ruined plates in the dark room.
Finished?
I ran out of gas.
You can save your breath and just put up your hands.
You too? I'm going to need a special game warden if this keeps up.
Get over there against the wall.
My favorite position.
All right. Where are they?
Where are which?
The jewels you took out of the plaster cast.
That's an interesting question.
I'll give you just 5 seconds to provide an interesting answer.
I don't hear you, baby.
One, I can always say you tried to escape.
Such a pretty girl, too.
Two, I'm ready to pull this trigger, Rocky.
Young and tender.
Three, I mean it.
Too young to have to die.
Four.
In the electric chair.
All right. Five.
Hold it.
Grab her.
Yes. All right. Hold. Quiet down, miss. You okay, Fortune?
Okay, Skipper. Except for a slight heart attack. You heard what she said?
I was listening through the porthole.
So, what kept you?
Well, I just wanted to give her enough rope to hang herself.
You nearly gave her enough to include me.
Oh, sorry. You know, I must apologize for you.
Mm.
Until you showed me how the jewels had been hidden in your cast, I really didn't believe a word you said.
Forget it. I got a dishonest face.
Well, naturally, if there's anything I can do to make up for it now...
Just one thing, Skipper. About my job. You remember how you threatened to fire me?
Yes.
Well, fire one ready, Gridley, because if you don't, I quit.
Tonight, NBC Radio has presented transcribed Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young man known as Rocky Fortune. Others in the cast included Tony Barrett, Lynn Allen, Marvin Miller, Norma Vardon, and Shep Menken. Tonight's script was written by George Lefferts and Andrew C. Love directed. Eddie King speaking. Now, to tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
Sometimes I don't know what this younger generation is coming to. Did I ever tell you about the 10-year-old cowboy who held up the stagecoach with a water pistol and got away with 50 grand? Of course, I thought the kid was only kidding. But as the man in the hot seat said, brother, was I in for a shock. I'll tell you about it next week. See you around.
Next week, then, tune in again when Frank Sinatra returns as Rocky Fortune. One of the finest things anyone can say about you is that you're a good neighbor. That spirit has been a tradition in American life all through the years. Today, in hundreds of cities, this spirit of goodwill is expressed in a different way. It's expressed in our support of the local Community Chest or United Fund. This support is the modern way of being a good neighbor. Through your community campaign, you can make just one yearly contribution that takes care of many needs. You know that your money is collected and administered honestly and efficiently. So make sure that your campaign pledge is large enough to cover these needed services for an entire year. This is your chance to be a good neighbor. So give to your Community Chest or your local United Fund. Enjoy Fibber McGee and Molly tonight on the NBC Radio Network. Now, Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
NBC presents Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
About me and work that keeps the two of us from ever going steady Eddie. But sometimes I just get restless and I quit a job, and then again sometimes I get restless and I take one. This time I took one. Night counterman at an all-night hamburger diner. The diner was located on the Lower West Side, right between a saloon and a dance hall. Those who liked weak drinks went to the saloon, and those who liked strong women went to the dance joint. Nobody came to the diner. Nobody but Trouble. Trouble was a 9-year-old cowboy with freckles and a shoebox under his arm, and it was around midnight on a miserable night when the door popped open and he popped in. How do you do? What'll it be, partner?
One wimpy drowned.
How's that?
One wimpy drowned. A hamburger with ketchup.
Oh. Excuse me, kid. I'm still new at this job. I sling the hash, but not the lingo. Okay, one wimpy coming up.
And drowned.
Righto, we'll drown it. What's a kid like you doing out this late on a rainy night?
I'm just coming back from a friend's house.
What was it, an all-night pinochle game? How old are you anyway, son? 8?
I'm 9.
9?
Well, going on 9.
Oh, pardon me. How about a glass of milk while you're waiting?
Okay.
You, got any money?
See this shoebox?
Yep.
Know what's in it?
Shoes?
Money. $50,000.
Yeah? Well, that's a nice safe place to hide it, kid. Only you go around walking with that much dough in your shoes and you're going to be 10 feet tall. Hey, here's your hamburger.
Oh, thanks. You forgot to drown it.
What?
Ketchup.
Oh, yeah, the ketchup here. Yeah, slow down. Take it. When did you eat last, anyway?
This morning.
Well, I guess you'll be wanting another burger, then.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up. Where do you live, kid?
No place.
You, wouldn't be on the lam, would you?
Uh-uh.
Running away from home? I guess that things tough at school. Maybe your mom just doesn't understand you, huh?
I got no mom.
Oh. You got a pop?
Yeah, I got a pop.
What's his name?
None of your business.
Okay. You're a citizen. You don't have to answer. How about another milk? Where you headed?
Boat.
Any special boat?
One that's going far away.
Your boats cost a lot of money.
I got a whole shoebox full of money.
Oh, sure, I forgot. That's right. You're loaded with loot.
How much do I owe you?
Forget it.
I can pay you.
Now, look, kid, it's a cold, wet night. This is a bad neighborhood. Why don't you go home and run away some other time?
I can't go home.
You just think you can't. It don't help to run away, kid. I'm an expert. I've been running all my life.
I can't go home.
I'll call a friend of mine who's a cop, and he'll take
you... Get away from that telephone, mister. I got a gun in my pocket, and I'll shoot you.
Oh. I didn't know you were a desperado. Who is it, Billy the Kid or Jesse James?
Just tell me how much, and I'll get out of here.
Hamburger, 2 glasses at 40 cents.
Okay. Here's a dollar. Keep the change.
Thanks. Well, what do you know?
What's the matter?
Nothing, not a thing, kid. I was just admiring the lifelike engraving here of President Howdy Doody. Yep, the kid had handed me a hunk of Howdy Doody money. But I make like it's the real stuff and ring it up. He starts to climb down off the seat, hanging onto his small shoebox full of Howdy Doody dough like his life depended on it. All of a sudden, he looks awful small and scared. It reminds me of the way I must have looked myself when I took off from the orphan home at the advanced age of 10 years.
Well, I gotta be shoving off. So long.
Thanks for the tip. Oh, a kid.
Yeah?
You know, if you got a long boat ride ahead of you, you ought to take some food along. Why don't you wait here a minute? I'll see if we got some donuts back in the kitchen.
Well, okay, but no tricks. I got a gun in my pocket.
Sure, no tricks. I'll be right back. Here, you can listen to the radio while I'm out. Hello, operator. Give me the 21st precinct. Uh-huh. Hello, is Detective Sergeant Finger there? Yeah. Hello, Finger. This is Rocky. Rocky Fortune. Listen, I got a scared young kid down here at the Oasis Diner on Fleet Street. Uh-huh. A runaway. Can you send somebody down to pick him up? I can't leave the joint. Yeah, sure. I'll stall him. Thanks, Sergeant. I hang up and go out front again. When I get there, Junior's disappeared. And in his place is a young dame about 22 with a figure like the before and after ads. Only she's after, if you know what I mean. When I get around to it, I see she's got a nice face, too.
Pardon me.
Pardon me?
Well, you haven't done anything.
I'd love to. What'll it be?
Well, I'd like to ask you a question.
I'd like to ask you one, too.
Have you seen a little boy about 9?
That isn't the question I had in mind, but it still goes. Have you seen one, honey?
Please, I'm serious.
So am I. There was a kid here a few minutes ago. Did you see him?
No. Was he a little boy with freckles and reddish hair?
That's the boy. A pocket size Arthur Godfrey. You a relative?
I'm his aunt. Please, where did he go?
I told you, he disappeared.
Well, did he say where he was going?
Out of Mongolia, I think. What's the story on him?
Well, he ran away from his boarding school. He stopped at his father's house early this evening to get some things, and then he just disappeared.
How did you track him down here?
Well, I located a taxi driver who dropped him off at the corner. Since this is the only place open at this hour, I thought you might have seen him.
How come his pop didn't notify the cops?
Well, I thought he had.
Uh-uh.
Don't you have some idea which way he went?
Well, you might try the waterfront. He mentioned hopping a boat.
Oh, thank you.
Say, it's no neighborhood for a pretty girl alone. I
can take care of myself, Mr.
Fortune. Call me Rocky.
Mr. Fortune.
If you wait till I close up, I'll...
Good night.
I'll nothing.
Concerning the holdup of the shoe company payroll last night, police still have no clue as to the identity of the four men who stole the money. They wore Halloween masks. The smallest seemed to be the leader, and an all-points bulletin has been broadcast by the police in an effort to prevent
the
men from getting beyond...
I heard.
Step over here.
What is this?
You hide.
Okay.
I'm looking for a kid, 9 years old. Freckles, red hair.
Who isn't?
You want me to hit him, boss?
Take it easy, Moose. You seen him?
What if I have?
You'll tell me.
Suppose I don't feel like.
Okay, boss.
Okay.
Ooh.
Well?
Okay, he was here and he left.
Did he have anything with him?
Just an old shoebox.
Which way'd he go?
How should I know?
Maybe you saw it.
I didn't. Now, how about taking your gorilla and getting out of here?
Can I hit him, boss?
Take it easy. Did he say anything? Anything happened while he was here?
He said he was running away from home. A dame comes in and she says she's his aunt. I told her I didn't know where he was.
That's all?
That's all.
You sure?
I said that's all.
Moose.
Boss?
Make sure.
Okay.
Oh.
Still sure?
I'm sure.
Well?
I told you.
He's sure. Come on, Moose. Thanks, Doc.
My stomach feels like I've been kicked by an army mule, so I hang onto the counter till the blue wheels stop going around. Then I go behind the counter to clean up for the night. I hear a noise which seems to be coming from inside a big trash can we keep there, and I figure we got mice again, so I open it. From the mice is a small boy with a shoebox and a face full of half-eaten custard pie. Okay, kid. Come out of the pail.
Are they gone?
You've been in there all that time?
I hit her when I heard someone come.
Did you hear those two hoods?
Uh-huh.
You want to tell me why those roughnecks were after you?
Well, the big one, Moose, he's a hired muscle.
Muscle?
You know, a gunman, a fiddler. The little one, he's Perry Brock.
Brock? Yeah, he's one of the old Murder Consolidated boys, isn't he?
Uh-huh. Now you know why I don't want to go home?
I don't follow, son. What's Perry Brock to you?
My father.
Oh, you got a lot of trouble.
So you see, if you call the cops and they send me home, you'll just beat me up and send me back to the boarding school again.
Yeah, I guess he would.
So I better get going, mister.
Call me Rocky.
My name's Nicky.
Hold it, Nick. Here comes the law.
I'll duck out the back.
You can get back in the garbage can. I'll get rid of him. Well, hiya, Sergeant.
So where's the kid?
The kid? Oh, yeah. Oh, the kid. He took off. Vanished.
You don't say.
Just like that. Poof.
You couldn't call up the precinct and say, Sergeant Finger, don't bother walking over here on your tired feet on which you've been standing all day. The kid is gone. You couldn't do that, huh?
Well, I tried to get you, but the line was busy. Here, have a cup of coffee and a hamburger. On the house.
You trying to bribe an officer?
Uh-huh.
Make it a double hamburger with an onion.
Two double hamburgers and a pecan ring later, I get rid of Sergeant Finger of the Mounted and get the kid out of the garbage can. He smells like an old gymnasium, but I can't figure anything else except to take him in the shoebox home with me, which I do. I let him soak for a few hours and put him in my bed while I make like G.I. Joe on the Broadloom. About 10 minutes after I fall asleep... Mickey. Hey, Mickey.
Let me go home.
What is it, kid? What's the matter?
Nothing.
Just crying to irrigate the freckles, huh?
Let me alone.
I know how you must feel, Mick.
Nobody knows how I feel.
That's not true, kid. Lots of people get a raw deal from life. You take me. I was an orphan. I didn't even have a father to run away from.
Maybe you're lucky.
You don't get much love from a paid matron who has to divide it up among 150 lonely kids.
Sounds like a boarding school.
Yeah. Sometimes I used to lay in bed wanting to cry so bad I thought I'd bust wide open.
That's how I feel sometimes.
So I ran away, too, just like you. Only it didn't help. I was twice as lonely, and there was nobody to cry to. I've been running all my life. Get restless, quit a job. Get restless, take a job. It adds up to a big, fat goose egg.
I don't care. I'm going to be tough.
Sure, you live in the jungle, you got to be tough. But running away, well, that ain't tough, kid. Why don't you go home to your dad?
I can't.
Why not?
He don't want me. He never wanted me. He never even lived with me and Mom.
Never?
Uh-uh. After Mom died, I lived with my Aunt Annie, Mom's sister. But then she and Dad had a big fight, and he sent me away to boarding school.
You like your aunt?
Yeah, she's okay.
Yeah, that's how she looked to me. Well, suppose we call her.
No, Dad would just come and get me again. He ain't much good, Rocky.
I hate to hear you say that, but I guess maybe you're right, kid. Let's get some sleep and we'll talk about it in the morning. Here, blow. Attaboy. Yeah, pull the cover over you. Good night, kid.
Rocky?
Mm-hmm.
Could I stay with you, maybe? We could both be orphans together, huh?
No, I'm afraid not, kid.
I could get a job. I'm strong, honest. And I got plenty of money, enough for both of us. More than $50,000. I wouldn't be much trouble, Rocky, honest.
We'll talk about it in the morning, huh? Let's get some sleep. Good night, Mickey.
Good night, Rocky.
I don't get very much sleep. I'm thinking about this poor kid with his box full of howdy-doody money and what I'm going to do about him. It's early in the morning when I quit trying to sleep and get up to make us some breakfast. I almost fall on my face tripping over the shoebox. My foot goes through the cover and I pick it up to tie it again. 5 seconds later, I'm burning up the telephone switchboard. Operator, give me the 21st precinct. Yeah. Hello. Sergeant Finger still on duty? Uh-huh. Sarge, this is Rocky. Now, listen to me. I got that kid again. He's asleep in my room. Yeah. Not only that, but he's got a shoebox with enough government folding money in it to choke a dinosaur. I'm not dreaming, Sarge. Get over here, will you? 25 Bleakman. Okay.
Okay, put your hands up.
Hey, wait a minute.
This is a real gun, Rocky, and it's loaded, so get him up.
Now, be careful with that thing.
You're some pal. All that stuff you told me last night, how you knew what it was like. Now you're calling the cops to send me home.
Mickey, listen to me. It's wrong what you're doing.
You said you gotta be tough. Well, I'm gonna be tough.
I didn't mean tough that way. If you took that money from someplace, give it back. Give it to the cops. And give them that gun before you get hurt.
Not me. I'm gonna be tough.
You're gonna wind up like your old man, Mickey. He's tough, too. The wrong kind of tough. Now, come on now. Wait here for this detective friend of mine.
I ain't going to no police station.
Look, in case you don't know it, kid, there's nobody lives it up like a lost kid in a police station. Honest, they put you up on a desk, they buy you ice cream cones, double dips, they read your comic books, take your picture, wearing a copper's hat.
And then my pop comes and takes me home and beats me up. Rocky, I'm getting out.
Okay, Mick. Good luck.
You said when you live in a jungle, you gotta be tough. Well, I'm gonna be tough. I'm gonna be tougher than anybody.
I'm just beginning to wonder if little Mickey Brock hadn't held up a payroll wagon himself when the doorbell rings. It is my good friend Sergeant Finger, right on time.
Okay, Fortune, where is he?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Sarge, it's like this. I found the money inside the shoebox, see, and I turn around and the kid's got a real tough-looking automatic pointed right at my breadbasket.
Now, hold it, and you just let me figure it out real slow-like. The kid ain't here, right?
Right.
And the box with the money in it, that's disappeared too, right?
Right.
Now, how about the laughing gas? Is that gone too, or you just have these hallucinations on soda pop?
Now, look, Sarge.
Now, you look, Fortune. This is the second time you got me out on a wild goose chase. You ever read the story of the boy who cried wolf? Well, you're him, see? And the next time you want a cop, don't bother to call. I ain't coming. You understand that, Fortune? Don't call us. We'll call you.
I'm still standing there like a boy with egg on his face when the telephone rings. Yeah?
Mr. Fortune?
Yeah?
This is Ann Prentice, Mickey's aunt.
Good morning.
I thought perhaps you might have seen Mickey again last night.
How did you get my phone number?
I called the diner. The day cook gave it to me.
Well, as a matter of fact, lady, I did see him. He slept here last night.
What? Oh, where is he now?
Search me. He took off again.
We've got to find him.
Look, he don't want to be found. He wants to be lost.
His father thought he might have come to my place for some reason. He's half frantic.
I'll bet he is.
Since you know what he looks like, could you help me look for him?
This is my day off, lady.
Please, Mr. Fortune.
Yeah. Where do you live?
15 South Place, apartment 5B.
Powder your nose, baby. I'll be right over. I invest 15 cents in the city subway system and then foot my way to South Place. Number 15 is a quiet apartment with a self-service elevator. I lean on the buzzer on 5B. No answer. I try the knob and the door swings open. I walk into a nicely furnished apartment smelling faintly of perfume. I'm about to call for Annie Pie when I hear a faint noise behind me and what feels like the muzzle of an .88 comes crashing down on my skull. Ooh.
On your feet, punk.
Huh?
You heard. Up.
Rocky, are you all right?
Hmm?
Up.
Let him alone.
Get up.
Ooh-wee.
Well, well, if it isn't Dick, the fun-loving rover boy.
Should I hit him, boss?
Restrain yourself, Moose.
You always have your visitors greeted this way, Ann?
They forced their way in a few minutes after I called you.
Yeah, nice fellas.
Flattery will get you no place, Fortune. Where's the boy?
Here we go again.
Ann tells me he stayed at your place last night.
He couldn't get a hotel room. There's convention in town.
Very amusing. I thought you said you didn't know where he was.
I didn't. I found him in the garbage pail.
Now, boss.
You're a very funny man, Fortune. Moose, take him in the bedroom and work him over.
Gladly. Get going, you.
Oh, and Moose.
Yeah?
Don't kill him.
Moose shoves me into the bedroom and closes the window to the fire escape. Then he closes the door. Then he closes my left eye. And then he closes my right eye. I managed to get in a couple of wild punches of my own, but this guy's built like a Sherman tank. After a couple of sets, I'm beginning to feel like a lump of fresh dough in a French bakery. Moose measures me for a haymaker. And I do a pirouette, three tours of taze and an arabesque, and then a swan dive for the carpet. I hug the rug for a minute, and I manage to get one eye partly open. I discover I am looking into another eye, and it is not my own. It belongs to a scared, freckle face which looks out at me from under the bed. In his hot little hand, the kid's got a gun which he's pushing at me. I take it and straighten up.
Okay, Melonhead, one more. Hey!
Hey, hey. Get him up and shut up.
Hey, where'd you get the rod?
Never mind. Don't make a sound. Back up.
Okay, take it easy with that cannon.
Now turn around. I'll call your boss in here.
Look, Fortune, I...
Call him or I'll ventilate your head bone.
Okay. Hey, boss!
What?
Step in a second, will you?
Okay.
Has a friend decided to talk yet?
That's right, Brock. Get him up, fast.
I seem to have no choice.
Get over there with Laughing Boy.
Rocky, are you all right?
Just fine, honey, just fine. Get some cord or something. We'll tie these monkeys up.
Yeah.
Just a minute, Ann.
Shut up, Brock.
Oh, no, Fortune.
Boss, he means business.
You're the biggest, dumbest moose in the United States. Maybe in the whole Western Hemisphere. Go get him.
Boss!
Don't move or I'll shoot.
Fortune, you amuse me. You really are a funny man.
What's so funny, boss?
That gun. Look at it, you numbskull. It's a water pistol. A plain, ordinary kid's water pistol. Go get him.
Harry reaches into his pocket for his own artillery, and Moose starts after me. I pull the trigger, and sure enough, a stream of water shoots out. The kid has handed me a water pistol. I'm too groggy to realize it. By the time the thing really sinks in, Moose has knocked it out of my hand, and Brock's got me covered.
All right, Fortune. We fooled around long enough. I'm going to give you just about 1 second to tell me where the kid is.
Turn blue.
If you don't answer, I pull this trigger. And this is no water pistol.
You're wasting your breath, pal.
Okay, start praying.
Rocky, tell him.
No.
Okay, meathead, you asked for it.
Okay, hold it. Drop the rod.
I saw your ugly puss on a fire escape finger, but for a couple of seconds I thought you were going to let him do it.
I ought to, Fortune.
Do you mind if I ask what brings you?
Some kid walks into the precinct this morning right after I saw you. He drops a shoebox on the sergeant's desk and walks out. Shoebox has got 50 grand in marked money from the payroll robbery. It took us a while to catch up, but we finally trailed a kid here and spotted him on the fire escape. Now, don't tell me he's disappeared again.
Nah, he's just hiding. Get these hoods out of the room and I'll find him.
Okay, you two, move. Will you show me the phone, lady? I gotta call the wagon to haul these punks away.
With pleasure.
Go on. You lead the way, Perry.
Mickey, come on out, son.
Is it okay?
Yeah, it's okay. Your troubles are all over, kid. Your father's gone and he ain't coming back.
I won't have to go home?
Nope, from now on, this is your home. You're gonna stay right here with your Aunt Ann.
You mean I can't live with you?
Look, kid, you don't know what a lucky stiff you are, getting to live with a lovely dish like... I mean, with an aunt like her. And don't worry, Bob, I'll be around.
You will?
Sure, every night, twice on Sundays. That is, if you think your aunt wouldn't mind.
Oh, no, she'd like it. And so would Uncle Bill.
Who?
Uncle Bill.
You mean she's married?
Yeah, you heard.
Uh-huh. I heard. Good night.
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Others in tonight's cast included Richard Beals, Vivi Janis, Eddie Fields, Frank Richards, and Barney Phillips. Tonight's script was written by George Lefferts and based on a story by Robert Sanadella. Andrew C. Love directed. Eddie King speaking. Now, to tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
I get a job that pays $100 an hour, which is pretty good pay if you live so long. The trouble is, I almost don't. I'll tell you about it next week. See you around, huh?
Now, enjoy Fibber, McGee, and Molly on the NBC Radio Network.